My prayer this morning, Father, is a simple one, that you would give me a heart for your word and a word for our hearts. Amen. When I was in elementary school, there were two things that I looked forward to every week. One was music class, not surprising. And the other was the bookmobile. I don't know if you had one of these. It was a grant back in the 60s and the 70s. And it was a bus that was a library. And the lady on the bus, her job was to find out the particular interests of the children in each of the elementary schools. And I think there were four at that time in Haddon Township. And if the child had an interest, she would collect books about that interest and deliver them. Well, for some reason, around fourth and fifth grade, I fell in love with fables and myths all around the world, particularly the Greek and Roman gods, you know, Apollo and Zeus and all those stories. And I really liked finding out how they believed things happened. So here's a short quiz. The Greeks believe we got fire from Prometheus. He stole fire from the gods and gave it to man. And then in punishment, they chained him to a big rock. And vultures would come down and eat his liver. And every night, his liver would grow back, and the vultures would come back and eat it the next day, until Hercules, as one of his 10 trials, went and freed Prometheus. I loved this stuff when I was a kid. We have pain and suffering, remember? Because of, she had a box. Now she sells bracelets. Pandora, there you go. We had the seasons. This is a little off the beaten track, because of a young lady who was stolen by Hades and taken to hell to be his wife. And they said that she could be free and come back and be with her one true love if she did not eat anything while she was in Hades. She ate 6 pomegranate seeds. And the agreement was that for 6 months of the year, she would stay in Hades and we would have winter. And for 6 months of the year, she would come back to her one true love and we would have spring and summer. I love the way they explain things. The Africans have wonderful fables about why the rhinoceros's skin is all wrinkled and why the giraffe's neck is long, why the lion roars. But the one that really spoke to me was a creation myth. And supposedly the creator, because they're living in a different theological realm than we are, made all of the animals, all of the creatures on the earth, exactly the same. So when they were created, a lion was exactly the same as an ostrich or a cheetah or a human being. And they all had the opportunity to stand before the creator and pick 2 characteristics. So like the badger would say, I want claws so I can dig and a very tough back so that nobody can protect get me from behind. And the eagle might say, I want wings and talons. And the rabbit might say, I want to be very fast and be able to hear really well. And the fable goes that at the very end, the last creature who stood before the creator said, I don't want any characteristics. I want to stay the way you created me. And that was man. And the creator gave man authority over all the earth and gave him the ability to communicate and to build community. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? But moving on, we're talking about sheep today. And if you were a sheep, what characteristics would you ask for? Did they ask for the big woolly coat? Did they ask to be afraid of their own shadow? So then I looked up to see what good characteristics sheep might have. And actually, there's some. Did you know that sheep have rectangular pupils? And they have such peripheral vision, they can see almost 360 degrees. Not about you. That would be a little confusing for me, but it's not for sheep. They have an excellent sense of smell. They have the ability to recognize and distinguish facial features. And they like smiles better than frowns. They have excellent memories, they are emotionally complex, and sheep can be optimistic or pessimistic. How do they measure that? I have no idea. They have high sociability. They build community. And their upper lip, now all you farmers in the room probably know this, but the city boy opera singer does not have a clue. Their upper lip has a ridge down the middle of it, I wrote it down, called a philtrum that lets them select what vegetables they're going to eat from the ground and to pluck it as close to the ground as they possibly can. Now, which one of those do you think the sheep chose if they were part of that African myth? By the way, if you want to read all about sheep and their characteristics, I got this from the BCSPA website. But who knows what they would pick, but even so, they are definitely herd animals and represent a community in need of a leader. As I was preparing for this, one of the stories I found was from a cattle rancher, and he said that sheep are smarter than cows because sheep are smart enough to look for a leader, and cows you just have to push. So we have a bunch of sheep, metaphorical sheep and real sheep, because in Jesus' time, that was the main protein that they got, sheep and fish. And into our story enters, I actually wrote that in my notes, fanfare, the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd has some characteristics that Jesus explained and we talked about in the children's sermon. He loves the sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. He cares for the sheep. He leads the sheep. And in our case, he teaches the sheep. And it reminded me of one of my favorite authors, Robert Fulghum. I don't know if you know who that is. Many years ago, his first famous book was called All I Really Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. So I have a short thing here. I want you to listen, and I want you to listen carefully, because in my opinion, there's something missing. Just in my opinion. He writes, He writes, all I really needed to know, I learned in kindergarten. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that are not yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some and think some and draw and paint and sing and dance and play and work every day some. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go out in the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands and stick together. Be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup. The roots go down and the plant goes up and nobody really knows how or why. But we're all like that. Goldfish and hamsters and white mice and even the little seed in the styrofoam cup, they all die. So do we. And then remember the Dick and Jane books and all the first word you learned, the biggest word of all, look. Now that speaks to me. I love that, especially since I teach kindergarten 5 days a week. On Saturday or Friday, I was a grasshopper. Was bug day, and I was, as best I could with my knee replacements, hopping around the room. You don't want to really see a 64-year-old, 260-pound man be a caterpillar, but I did that as well. But did you figure out what was missing? The teacher. These things do not spontaneously enter our minds. We don't automatically share. We don't automatically think of the other person. We don't automatically take responsibility and clean up our mess. A 5-year-old brain or a 55, 65, 75-year-old brain needs to be led and taught and disciplined and loved, just like the kindergartner needs it from their teacher, and we need it from our good shepherd. By the way, you might not know this, but if you tell a kindergarten student not to do something one time, that's all you have to do. You never have to tell them again. One time does it. Horse hockey. But if you tell a grown-up, like the sheep in this room, one time, they get it perfectly. No, horse hockey again, yes. It's not a one-time thing. In fact, it's eternal. It's seemingly eternal. It's like wash, rinse, and repeat for our minds. Now, where are we going with this? Sheep, kindergartners, and us need what our good shepherd has to offer: comfort and safety, protection and guidance, compassion and vision. But I think the thing we need most from our good shepherd, and we are so happy that our good shepherd and our kindergarten teachers back in the day had, patience. Patience. For us who believe, the good shepherd's most impacting quality is his patience. Or some people might call it grace. Being our shepherd is not a 9-to-5 job. Being our shepherd is a 24/7 job. It's not, I'll get there in a minute. It's, I'll be there now. It's not, this is the last time I'm going to tell you. It's, let's try this together one more time. I'd like to end with a story that I've heard several different ways. Once I heard that it was Lionel Barrymore. Once I heard it was Richard Burton. I don't know who it was, but this is the story. One of those two men had become quite famous and decided to have a party, a celebration at their home, and invited their childhood preacher, who had seen that famous person grow up in their church. And the pastor was infirmed and in a wheelchair and was just enjoying watching everything. And the people began to clap and shout for the famous actor to share with them something he had learned in Sunday school. So he stopped for a moment and he thought about it and he said, Pastor, what would you like to hear? And the pastor said, I'd like to hear the 23rd Psalm. And he said, well, Pastor, I'll recite it for the group if you'll recite it after me. So this great orator got up and with all of the voice training and timing and diction, he recited the 23rd Psalm. It was memorable. It was powerful. It was moving. And when he got to the end, the people just erupted in a standing ovation, shouting and cheering because he had said the Psalm so well. And the pastor haltingly lifted himself out of the wheelchair and quietly, reverently recited the 23rd Psalm. Except when he recited it, he emphasized the personal pronouns. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Think about it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When he was done, there wasn't a sound in the room. It was one of those holy times when nobody knew what to say and nobody wanted to break the silence, but everybody was confused because the first one had caused them to rise up and cheer. And the second one had given them Holy Spirit goosebumps. And the famous actor got up and said, you know what? I know the 23rd Psalm. He knows the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd? Do you trust the shepherd to provide and prepare and protect? Do you know the shepherd personally so that you could recite the 23rd Psalm as a sheep following the good shepherd? That's the real reason we're here. We know the shepherd. We want to know him better. Friends always ask me at the opera, what's the sermon on this Sunday, Doc? And I always have to simmer it down to a sentence because we're between rehearsals and they don't really need a theological explanation of the good shepherd. And what I said to them this week was, I'm preaching on the Good Shepherd, but he's only a good shepherd if you follow him. So I'd like to finish with the words of the old hymn. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. Amen.